You take the liberty of the Lord, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm glad he said that. We'll get the Pharisee out of you this morning. Then you won't have nothing to preach about. No. Oh, isn't God wonderful? Amen. Well, last week, 51 years. Amen. My wife's had to put up with me. Oh, God is awesome, isn't he? All the time. Hallelujah. So my wife and I, we had quite an experience come Monday, last Monday, and I think I found a scripture that might apply to my wife and I. At least me. I better say it like that. All right. Turn with me to Psalms 119, 130. 119, 130. Oh, glory. Have you had a good week? In spite of it, we still survived, didn't we? Some of us. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's wonderful to come together and see God's people and know they love you and they hug you and they know that we've been praying for you this week. You know, that makes you feel good. We should always be praying for those God puts upon our mind. Amen. And they, by grace of God, they'll be praying for you. Amen. Pray one for another, the Bible said. Amen. Well, it's kind of hard to talk this morning a little bit. I got my nose plugged up. Got a bloody nose this morning. Decided to clip some hair in my nose. I clip more than that. Me. So you see where the scripture applies to me this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When all else fails, follow directions. When all else fails, follow directions. Father, we thank you this morning for the message that we're going to preach. We thank you that the Holy Spirit anoints the word does not return void. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for our shepherds, Lord, for their sons, their daughter-in-laws, them babies of theirs. We just thank you, Lord, for each and every individual that comes to this place of worship, that together we can strengthen one another, lift up one another, pray for one another, knowing that our prayers are answered because we're serving a prayer-answering God. Lord, we do not ask in vain, but we ask in faith, believing, trusting in you. In spite of our shortcomings, Lord, we thank you that you help us to overcome through the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name, bless this message to the hearts of thy people. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, in Psalms 119, 130th verse, it says this, very simple little verse. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding, this is to my wife and I, and giveth this understanding unto the simple. Amen. And you'll see why I picked that verse in a minute. Now, it doesn't mean simple or it's ignorant or anything, but to me, maybe so. I don't know. But anyway, this week, my wife and I, we went to Walmart, a Wally World, as some call it, and we decided that my lamp beside my bed after 3 or 4 years decided to not work anymore, so I had to get one. Well, being as smart as I am, I got one that had to be assembled. Not too smart. You kind of got a feeling where I'm going, huh? You've been there, huh? Amen. And we began to, something that should have took 15, 20 minutes took us an hour. We begin to put it together and realize after four times putting these screws in, it's real long. When you got a little arthritis, it really helps, you know. Yeah. Get that done, you look at it, say, well, it would have been much better if we would have done it right. Take it off, we got to turn it around. Screwed it on. Next piece we put on, it was backward. Had to unscrew it again. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And, well, surely this thing's going to get over with. This simple-minded feller. And then we, the last part, we, well, surely we're smart enough to get this thing right. I wasn't. It went on upside down. Couldn't fit it on. From now on, I decree from this moment forth, I will buy that which is completed. So from that, I kind of got the thought of this message today. I thank you, honey. Together, you helped me put this together. And if I blow it, it's my fault. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's so good. So once again, to read this message that applies to my wife, I mean to myself. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Sometimes it comes a little slow. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Direction. So I titled this message, When All Else Fails, Look at the Direction. That was my problem. How many's ever tried to put something together and it just don't go? Or you got a new creation? Yeah. That don't quite look right. It's supposed to be going this way and it's going that way. And we look at it, and all at once we decide, well, maybe I better see how to put this thing together direction. That's never happened to you, right? Oh, yes. So it's very vital that to make it to heaven, we need the roadmap. We need to know how to get there. And there's only one way that you can find it is through God's divine holy word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of God. Yeah. Applying the word. Digesting the word. Letting the word live within you. That you might live for the word. Amen? We look first of all at Noah. Noah was a great man, 120 years. He labored, he worked. Now, if Noah had been like me, well, let's just pretend he's me. I see a shortcut here. I see a shortcut here. Oh, I know God wants that a 12 by 12 and so long. And I think we don't quite got to make it quite as long as that. You know, that looks a little big. So we whack here and we whack there. And that door, it just don't look, looks like it's just too big or too small. And so we kind of revise it to satisfy ourselves. But it's very important. God specifically told Noah how to build the ark. Piece by piece, I believe. Amen? God laid out the blueprint. How many knows when God lays out a blueprint, it's a good idea to maybe look at it. Huh? You see, it's sad. The judgment day will come one day, and there's those, there's cults out there. They believe they're right, but it's not according to the word of God. Believe a lie and be damned, the Bible said. So God has called you and I to witness of his glorious grace. To show them by our life that we live the roadmap. You are a roadmap to perhaps the salvation of others. Follow me, Paul said, as I follow me as I follow Christ. So it's very vital. So Noah, he built and he listened to God's blueprint and followed it to the T. And I'm sure there was times his son said, Dad, we don't have to add that. I'm sure that happened. But Noah stuck to his guns. He said, no, son, God said do it this way. And this is the way it's going to be done. If it takes me 120 years. And it did. But obedience is better than sacrifice. To obey God. To follow his precepts. To do what he desires. It's vital that we follow God's word to the T. You can't add a little and take a little away and add a little. The Bible said we can't do that. God meant what he said and said what he meant. How many believes that? Let God be truth and let every man be a liar if it differs from him. God did not pull no punches when it comes to his word. There's only one way to eternal life, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the blood. No, I'm not, because it's the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. All sin. Hallelujah. You can't take a shortcut and leave the blood out. If you do, you leave Jesus out of your life. And when you do, the end thereof is a way of death. Eternal separation from God. You know, if there was no fire in hell, hell would still be horrible. You know why? You're separated from God and all of his goodness for eternity. Could you imagine living with all people you know that is so vile, so filthy minded? You know them, you've seen them. Man, it's bad enough to have to live with some of them here on this earth, amen, or around them. But Noah believed God. But if he hadn't followed God, when that rain came and that old ark begins to float, they'd be bailing water left and right. Plug that hoe up. Plug that hoe up. And before you know it, it'd be blah, 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 blah. And Noah would have been no more. Amen? So it's important, church, to follow the instructions of our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Elijah. God gave him specific instructions many times in his life. And thank God that he obeyed them. But had he not obeyed them, there'd been a lot less miracles happening in his life. Or Elisha. Amen? It's vital, vital. Jonah. God said, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh. A city of some 70 to 100,000 people. They're wicked in my eyes. I'm going to destroy them in 40 days. But I want you to go down. I want you to preach to them repentance. And if they repent, I will have mercy on them and not destroy their city, Nineveh. But there's only one problem with this. It was the enemy of Israel, Nineveh. They hated each other, these nations did. And Jonah loved his country like I love America. He loved his country. He was willing to die for his country. God said, I want to save the enemy. And he was saying in so many words, no, you don't. You're not going to use me to go down there and save them. And he flat got mad at God. So he started his journey going down. He went down to the ship, went down into the ship, got his passage so he could get away from God, not obey God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. But how many knows even through those times, God is merciful to forgive and to forget? Man, I'm so glad he forgave me my sins. I'm glad they're not on a blackboard somewhere. Huh? How would you like your sins to be broadcast to everybody? They're under the blood, so there's nothing there in God's eyes. It's covered by the blood of all of your sins. You've asked Jesus into your life, and if you're here this morning and you haven't asked Jesus to cleanse you from all of your sins, it's not too late. Jesus hasn't come back here, but he could come today. Ready or not, he's coming. He's coming to redeem his children. You know who his children are? The bride. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. When I was in Bible college, the professor said, young men, we got a problem here today in the Word. So what do you mean? He said he's coming back for his bride. Some of you will catch that about 2 o'clock in the morning. Coming back for his bride. Men ain't the bride, but we are in this case. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. So Jonah, he went and ran from God. God had to prepare a special fish. Swallowed him. When the men threw him overboard because of the raging sea, and they drew lots and so forth, and finally Jonah said, I'm the guilty one. I'm running from God. Throw me over. Instead of repenting right there, no, he's ready to die. Throw me over. Aren't you glad that God's not finished with us yet? When others are ready to throw us overboard, Jesus is there saying, come unto me, all ye that weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And God prepared a big fish, a whale of a fish. Amen. It swallowed him. 3 days and 3 nights as Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Boy, he was one stubborn dude, wasn't he? Still wasn't willing to give in and surrender to God. Finally, senses come to him. And he said, what am I doing here? God, I'll do what you want me to do, but I ain't going to like it. Has God ever told you to do something you in your spirit said, but I don't want to. I don't like it. But nevertheless, I'll do it. And that's the way he was. He is still hoping. When that old whale spit him out there, where he'd go into Nineveh and preach and declare that God was going to destroy the city if they don't repent. Inside he was praying, God, I hope they're not a one of them repent. They're the enemy of Israel. I hate them. But you know what the Bible said? Pray for them to despitefully use you, do good to them that persecute you. Love your enemy. Love your enemy. Some of us got a lot of people to love. A lot of people to love. But he says, love your enemy. How many believe you should do what God said? It's very vital to follow the roadmap, to follow God. He went down to Nineveh. He preached. How would you like to think, be preaching and hoping nobody gets saved? Boy, doesn't that make sense? It's enough work up here mostly when they get it saved, but when they're not, that's something else. So he obeyed. And at the end of the 40 days, he went down, God even provided a gourd, big gourd over him. It was so hot, probably 120, 130 in the shade. And a gourd was a shade. But the next day, God allowed that gourd to shrink. His protection was gone. God was teaching him that I'm concerned. And God spared the city. And he said to God, you know, he's brassy. He was one stubborn lot, that guy was. You think, but now he would have learned a lesson, wouldn't you? After being in a whale's belly for 3 days and three nights? Man, I think I could woke up before that. But after God decided to spare the city, they all repented, sackcloth and ashes, even commanded the animals not to eat for a certain time, lest they be slaughtered. He said, God, I knew you was like that. You'd have mercy on them. Man, I'm glad God's merciful, because if I was God, I think I would have took a whipping post to him. Taught him a lesson, or God would have killed him. You know, isn't it easier to do it God's way? Isn't it easier to look at the directions before we start a trip in life? Isn't it nicer to pray and ask God to direct us on a trip, knowing he goes before us and makes a way where there seems to be no way? He does. In Acts 1, let me find it here. Acts 1 and the first chapter, fourth verse. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Now, here God was desiring for them to go and come together in one accord and seek his face that he could pour out his Holy Spirit the first time upon the church. He knew the church was powerless without the power. We're powerless without Jesus, church. We're powerless without the Holy Ghost moving in and through us every day. But he commanded them. When God commands something, obey. Don't question him. Amen? Because God had a great move for the church. He knew that Jesus said, I'll go away and I will send the comforter. That's who the Holy Ghost is. He's the comforter. The Holy Spirit is a comforter to comfort you in your daily walk when things don't look right. Look up and look at the light. Look at Jesus and let him be your strength and your help. Amen? Glory to God. 17th chapter and the 30th verse of Acts. It's going to be a short message, but that's fine. Acts 17, 30. Amen. I'll find it in 1 second here. Okay, wrong verse, wrong chapter there. 17:30. And it says here that the time of their ignorance God winked at. One time God overlooked sin because Jesus hadn't came to that degree. Him to know what to do good to him. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him is sin. Amen. but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He commandeth man everywhere to repent. Aren't you glad you've given it to Jesus? You put your life into his hand. And if you're here and you haven't done that, oh, by far, don't go through life without Jesus. We just, this week we had the privilege of coming in contact with a good friend of ours, Spanish family, and we love her with all of our heart, the Perez's. And we hadn't heard from him in 45 years, and God allowed to my daughter that we could come contact. Dan was on the phone with her for about 2 hours last night, reminiscing all, but they was preachers, evangelists, and they're backslid today, not going to church and nowhere. They say they love God, but they don't need church. See, that's the biggest lie of the devil. If he can separate you from fellowship, if he can separate you from the child of God, you just said that eventually you're going to wilt. Spiritually, you're going to wilt. We need the house of God. I need you. Pastor needs you. We need one another's prayers. Man, it makes you feel so bad. Good. When somebody will come around and when you go through a hard time and say, it's all right. I remember my dad was one of those old harder men that didn't know how to say, I love you, son. Never heard him say, I love you, son, until the last year of his life when he knew he was dying of cancer. And I'd tell him, Dad, I love you. And he'd say, son, I love you. It's hard sometimes, but you know what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy, I take joy in knowing God. I take joy in the fellowship of the saints of God. Amen. It's so vital that we take time to love one another. Go out of your way to love one another. Go the second mile. Well, I'm waiting for them to be friendly. You may be waiting for a long time because they may be praying you be friendly to them. Amen. It is very vital that when God speaks, we obey. Amen. When all else fails, follow directions. I want to follow the Lord. I want to follow his precepts. I want to do what's pleasing in his sight. Don't you, church? Every day. We're not just to do it on Sundays. How about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? When was the last time you picked up the phone to encourage your brother or your sister? Or to witness for the Lord? See, I leave those to you. How many believes that would be a good thing? Huh? How many knows you need to be encouraged? And don't say you don't. You do. Your pastor needs to be encouraged. It don't hurt to tell him, man, you blessed me with the word this morning. Oh, how the word blessed me. How God used you. Thank you, pastor. That's a good thing. I know from being a pastor, it's like saying sick it to a bulldog. Makes you want to preach harder. Makes you want to study harder. Makes you want to reach out and to love more people. Amen? Come on, Pastor. We love you and appreciate each one of you. And thank you for this privilege.